Jubilee.
You ready?
Oh, I'll get rid of that.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, I can't be doing that.
You could be doing that. Are you Googling porn over there?
Bread and milk.
And milk? Porn and milk.
Porn and milk.
Aloha. Oh, we scared the cat. Aloha, Mud Babies, Pod People, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew. I'm sitting here with drummer extraordinaire Ken Wilson. Ken, thanks for coming down again.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. You made it out in the snow.
Yeah, it's crazy out there. I'm going to stop and get bread and milk on the way home.
Bread and milk.
Bread and milk.
What is the deal with bread and milk? Well, first of all, let me say, Denver is supposed to get up to a foot or more of snow. Is
correct.
What they're saying. And apparently everybody goes nuts for bread and milk.
Yeah.
What is it?
I have no idea. They're useless. Bread and milk.
What do you just make soggy milk?
Yeah, milk toast. You make milk toast. You have that when you're a kid?
And everybody knows how lame that is.
Yeah.
Milk toast.
Milk
but
toast.
It is. Everything on the news. Bread and milk. Got to get bread and milk. Be sure to stock up.
Yeah. Great. Apparently they have meat, mustard, lettuce. They have everything at home. They just don't have bread.
Uh-huh.
And they have
milk.
No milk.
And milk. Wouldn't you stock up on other things?
Yes.
Okay, let me ask you. If the snow's coming, what do you go stock up on?
Well, first I'm going to go buy a snow shovel because mine broke.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not really stocking up. I'm just replacing that. And then I'm just going to get some food, munchies. It doesn't matter. You know, a couple steaks,
uh-huh.
You know, some vegetables. Love that stuff.
You don't have any, like, I must go out and get a bottle of Fireball.
Oh, no. I don't have to do that.
No.
I have a bottle of Crown a buddy of mine bought me uh-huh. for my birthday last year. There's way too much of that still. I don't need that.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't need Fireball either.
No, I don't need Fireball's whiskey for girls.
I'm so proud you said that. That's one of my new things that I'm doing in my act. I'm doing a whole thing
uh-huh.
about the, you know, well, this is Remasculate. So I'm basically doing a thing about the pussification of country music.
Yes.
And they talk about Fireball. Several songs now mention Fireball.
I know. You think they're getting kickback from that?
I wonder. If they are, somehow, yeah. some way.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, that was never – whiskey is whiskey. Whiskey
exactly.
is a man's drink.
And awesome women drink it too.
And awesome women drink.
Yes.
Whiskey girl. Remember Toby Keith's Whiskey Girl?
Remember Kelly Ford?
Whiskey girl. So that's what – yeah. So whiskey's supposed to – when you do a shot, go smooth.
Yes.
You know, you're supposed to gasp for
yes.
just a second.
Take your breath away.
Yeah, not have that, that is so yummy and cinnamony.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
you
like,
know.
If I spill that, it's going to get all sticky.
Sticky, yeah.
Yeah.
So in my act, I've been doing this thing about, Fireball, John Wayne would just kick you in the vagina.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's so unmanly. It is just, and people have been like, oh, I love Fireball. Well, I'm not saying it's not tasty. I'm just saying it shouldn't be the whiskey of men.
Yes, it
and
should
awesome
be
awesome women.
It should be like if your woman's kind of awesome but not really, she has Fireball while you drink real whiskey.
Right.
You can have a shot together.
Right. And I was very disturbed the other day to see a commercial for I think it was Jack Daniel's Fire.
Yes.
Is that what it's – I think it's called Fire.
Yes. And everybody's like, getting on the bandwagon.
Everybody. It's like, no.
It's disgusting.
No. It hurts my heart.
That leads – I mean that lends itself to the entire pussification of America.
Right.
Now even our whiskey's for pussies.
Whiskey for pussies.
Yeah.
Fire pussy. That's
fire pussy.
Where's fire pussy? That's the next one.
Exactly. Fire pussy.
I don't get it. I know I went through a period back years ago when I drank that it was very foo-foo drink.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't foo-foo in the sense of it wasn't strong whiskey, strong alcohol. It was tequila.
Right.
But you remember everything was like tequila sunrises. And,
yes.
You know what I mean? I don't know why. We went through – there was a period at the bar that you had to have these strong mixed drinks, zombies.
Yeah.
And do you remember what I'm saying?
When I was a little kid, I remember – Harvey Wallbangers.
Right.
All the old people drank Harvey Wallbangers.
Right. They were cocktails.
Yes. They, yes, a cocktails. Mixed drink, a cocktail.
And as I
in
remember,
a highball.
Highballs.
In a highball glass.
In a highball glass. Now, is a highball glass a certain glass? Is it a type of glass? Because I just remember my granddad going, go make me a highball.
Yeah.
And I just assumed
I think it's tall. It's taller than it is round.
Uh-huh.
A rock's glass is short and fat. A highball is a little thinner and tall. They probably still hold the same amount of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different style.
Yeah, but I guess I don't have that Boston. Was it called Boston? I need to get closer to the mic myself. Was it Mr. Boston's bartender book?
Yes, yes. Every bartender in the world has one of those stashed behind the bar somewhere. In case you ask for a Manhattan,
uh-huh.
You know, or, you know, if you have to muddle some fruit in a glass to make a real cocktail.
Some mint goes into something. Yeah, yeah. I remember the first time somebody said, "Do you ever had a mojito?" And I'm like, what? What?
First time I had a mojito was when we were playing up in Copper Mountain up there. It was probably with Skinner that weekend.
Uh-huh.
And those girls, and they had fresh mint from the garden.
Right.
Dewey's sister and all her friends.
Yeah.
I fell in love with mojitos that weekend.
And that was your first taste of mojito?
Yeah, my very first one.
Because drinks just sort of come out of nowhere and catch on.
Uh-huh.
And the mojito was one of those at its time where it's like, what? You haven't had a mojito?
Right. Well, in Cuba, they're probably going, we've had those for decades.
Yeah.
They just finally got to Colorado.
Well, didn't they call it the Cuba Libre or something?
Cuba
like
Libre? Isn't that
rum and Coke.
Rum and Coke with a lime in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but everybody's been had rum and Coke forever, but now you have, what, a Cuba Libre?
Yes, of course. It's exotic. It's from Cuba.
Yeah. I think it's funny, too, that bartenders make drinks different. You know, like if you go somewhere and you ask for something
mm-hmm.
like a Colorado Bulldog or
right.
a White Russian. I mean, this may be bad examples, but I just think, you know, I've heard people go, oh, they make them different here.
Right.
And I don't think they make them different as much as they don't know what they're making, and they just make shit.
They make – here, there you go. You wanted a what? There it is. There's your salty dog. Oh, I'm sorry. You wanted tequila sunrise? There it is.
There it is.
There it is.
Oh, well, we use vodka instead of tequila here.
Exactly.
You know, I think a lot of times because girls – well, it used to be the guys would go in and say, I just want a shot and a beer.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that was just a shot and a beer.
Yep.
What do you want a shot of? I don't care. What do you got?
Right.
Typically, it was whiskey, right?
Right.
Instead of shot and a beer.
Yeah. Shot and a beer.
Shot and a beer.
Throw them together, you got a Boilermaker.
And bartenders knew exactly what. But girls would go into bars and go, I'd like a slippery nipple on a sexy beach. And bartenders would be like, what the fuck? Where's my book?
Yeah. Where's my book?
Yeah.
I need the
girls
book.
Were the ones that went in and said, I need this kind of drink.
Right.
And I seriously think bartenders just went, does anybody know how to make it? No. I think it has vodka in it. Okay, blip, 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 blip. There you go. And girls would be like, oh, it's different, but I like it.
Yes.
You know, they make it different here.
I think somebody finally said, I'll make a lot of money if I write a book. I'm going to write a book. And that may not be the recipe that it's supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
I'm just writing some stuff down here. I'm going to sell the book.
Have you ever been a bartender?
I tended bar when I was younger.
Uh-huh.
Worked in a country club. And as a management position, I had to learn everything. So I learned to tend bar, and I could tend bar, but I never made a living tending bar.
So – and you've worked in bars most of your life.
Yes.
Around bars and bands. And,
uh-huh.
And matter of fact, I just saw a picture on Facebook.
Oh, no.
Somebody had posted your – did you see the –
with all the hair?
The super hair.
The super
hair. The super freaking hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And even the girlfriend, Janet, goes – oh, my God, how long does it take for a guy to grow his hair that long? Because your hair in that picture is longer than mine, and I've been growing it for like 5 or 6 years.
Right.
So how long had that – because your hair really was – I mean, it was like
– it was very long. Well,
very long.
I got out of the military in 85 and probably didn't cut – I mean, a little trim here and there.
Yeah.
But didn't cut my hair till 92, 93, you know?
So it just free flowed for
yeah, just kept growing. My hair gets not curly tight curls, but like uh-huh. wavy.
Right.
So it's awful. It's a mess. I'm glad I have it short now.
So that picture that was there mm-hmm. was probably toward the end. Or?
I think that was like 92 or so with Riot Act, 92, 93.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hair in that.
That
picture.
Was a lot of freaking hair and hair products. I'm
oh
sure.
yeah. Oh yeah. I was probably over 6 feet tall at one point with
just
the hair.
With hair.
Yeah. Just standing straight up.
That was pretty cool. But I got away from the fact that I was going to talk to you. Bars, you've been there all your life, so you know a good bartender. What makes a good bartender, in your opinion? Because, you know, people, they say, we're looking for a good bartender.
Right.
What is a good?
A good bartender is one that won't drink behind the bar or steal money. But to me, a good bartender is one that anticipates the needs of the customer. When you get down to just below a half a glass, you got a little third of a glass of beer or a little bottle, they come and go. Or if they know you, they just hand you another one. They just keep bringing you beers until you say, I'm done. They anticipate your needs. They don't wait till you run out and have to wave them down. They're there ahead of time. And they know what you want. You walk in and they go, hi, Steve. I remember you used to like Jack Daniels. You're like, well, I don't drink anymore.
It's kind of like one of the places where everybody knows your name.
If everybody knows your name, you got a problem.
They know your drink. They know your name. They know your drink. So a good bartender is not one that, like, you have to sit down and take a test of, like, I can make every one of these drinks. I know the Bible of beer is in my head. The dictionary of drinks is
– If you're an experienced bartender, you can't do a job and not learn something. If you're really experienced, you've already learned all the beers. You know the difference between ales and lagers. And that just comes with the territory, in my opinion.
Right.
You know.
So what is the – other than Fireball – what is the new drink around the bars that you're seeing?
Oh, well, everybody's going for like vodkas and Red Bulls. I think Jaeger and Red Bull took a few people out, so they're getting away from that. And that Jack Daniel's Fire you were talking about.
Right.
And, of course, the dreaded Crown Apple is big now.
I saw the commercial for that. What is that?
It's Crown Royal, but it's – distilled, I mean, it's got apple in it, and they're like Granny Smith apples, those little tart apples. It's very good, actually. It's only 70 proof, which is fine too. It's a little weaker than regular Crown, but it's tasty though. It's probably, I'd rather have that than Fireball, because it's not sugary.
It's Crown Royal.
It's Crown Royal. Well, they have Crown Maple too, and that's like syrup.
I just think the name Fireball, that's a candy to me.
It is.
Like you say Crown Royal Apple, that is a Crown Royal product. Jack Daniel's Fire, that's a whiskey with cinnamon added. Fireball just sounds like a freaking
– like those little jawbreakers we used to get. Those were called Fireballs.
Yeah, atomic Fireballs. So that's what that's all that is to me. You're just a candy. You're a candy-ass liquor drinker.
You're not even – go away.
Yeah.
Go away.
You got drunk on Fireball.
You probably got sick too. By the time you get drunk on Fireball, you're in a diabetic coma.
I have to say, one of the worst hangovers I ever had in my life was on banana liqueur.
Oh my God. That's got to be disgusting.
It was disgusting.
Do you even eat bananas anymore?
Oh, I love bananas. And I love banana ice cream. And I love banana popsicles.
Really?
Banana popsicles are one of the best things in the world. But for whatever reason, and I don't know why, I know it was the other comic I was with that got us started on it, because he had a bottle, and we just started doing shots of banana liqueur.
Yuck.
And it was I think it was the sugar, the extra sugar that's in it just tore me up.
Oh, yeah, and liqueurs are heavy on sugar, and they're usually only 40% or 40 proof. So you got two shots equals one shot or a beer.
Right.
So you have to drink twice as much, and by the time, again, you're drunk – You're in almost in a diabetic coma.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's what it was, because it was just – I remember just the head was spinning and oh, God, it was horrible.
Oh, make you want to stop.
Oh, make you want to stop. So where are you guys playing these days? You're now playing with Marshall Rain.
Correct.
And go ahead and tell our listeners about Marshall Rain.
Well, Marshall Rain is a duo. Jason and Eric make up Marshall Rain. Jason's from Canada. Eric is from Washington, but they met in Las Vegas. So whether the band is Canadian or a Vegas band or
– Cheeseheady.
It's hard to say. The first single went to number four in Canada, which is very good. Number four in downloads. We got radio play coast to coast, like 80 stations. And at one point, we were the number four most downloaded song for about 2 weeks straight. So that's a good sign.
That's a very good
sign. We may be a huge Canadian country band that finally breaks it in America eventually.
You could be the new Emerson Drive.
Exactly. Exactly. There's nothing wrong with that. That was a good band.
Right. People are going, who? Google. Who? Yeah. Google, bitches. Just look up Emerson Drive. Yeah. They had some good hits back in the
The
early 2000s.
And the women loved them. The girls loved them.
What was that song they had? The Kiss or –
Oh, I remember? Don't remember. Uh-uh. Oh. I don't remember.
It was their last hit, and girls loved that song. It was something about kissing. Mm-hmm. Kissing. Anything about kissing, yeah. Girls loved.
Well, I didn't really know that much about them. I remember when we opened up for them. And mm-hmm. I'd asked somebody, Bill or somebody, I said, what is this Emerson Drive? Or I think it was Dewey. What is Emerson Drive? What are these guys? I don't know anything about them. And here we are ready to open the show, and I'm clueless. Dewey goes, they're like the country Bon Jovi. I said, really? He goes, come here and look at this. He opened up the curtain a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Sea of Women. A Sea of Women. I'm like, this is my new favorite band right now.
Yeah.
Emerson Drive is my new favorite band.
They were. But I have to say, probably, and we, as when we were playing – together, Taylor Swift, the night we opened for Taylor Swift. Uh-huh. Yes, seriously, people listening to this.
Yes, twice we did.
Twice we opened for Taylor Swift. Uh-huh. And the Screaming Girls.
Wow.
I have never heard anything like that in my life. I have never – it had to be like what the Beatles experienced.
I think so. A lot of these girls were very young too, and their screams, it was so loud my ears just kind of closed up. It's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I could barely hear anything but girls screaming. And we had to tell them, this isn't Taylor.
We're not Taylor.
Taylor's coming.
Yeah.
They still loved it.
Yeah.
They still had a great
time. Apparently, if you had any association with Taylor,
yes.
We love you.
Yes.
Have you spoken to Taylor? You know, that's that kind of.
I think she was, what, 17, 18
17
back
or 18,
then?
Yeah.
When she first started out.
Mm-hmm. And she was super nice.
Very nice.
And she probably still is.
Very amiable.
And people wonder why I've been so hard on Taylor.
Uh-huh.
Because they're like, you opened for her. She was so nice to you.
Yeah.
You know, y'all were semi, I won't say friends, but we, you know, she sent postcards and I got Christmas cards from her there for a while when I was at the radio station. And you're like, I like her.
Mm-hmm. She's a great person.
But I got oversaturated. With Taylor, it was too much, uh-huh. too soon.
Right.
It dominated the radio.
Mm-hmm.
People were calling me to complain about her. If I hear another Taylor Swift song, I'm changing the station. You know, mm-hmm. it became that.
Right.
And so as a comic, you pick up on cues from what's going on in the public.
Mm-hmm.
The public hates her. I have to make fun of it.
Well, that's part of your job.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And Taylor made a lot of money at that point. But it's not her fault that the radio saturated us with it. We got to dislike her because we couldn't get away from her.
Could not.
No. That's the radio's fault. That's not Taylor's fault.
I went into a motorcycle shop the other day.
No.
Well, I was walking by and they had some cool t-shirts. And I thought, I'm going to go look. But I walk in. Taylor is playing overhead in a motorcycle shop. Shouldn't it be like heavy metal or Lemmy and Motorhead or, you know, anything? But because the hater gonna hate, and a player gonna play.
I think Taylor could be playing in a scooter shop, you know.
Right.
On a Vespa.
Yeah.
But not a Harley shop, not a motorcycle
shop. Shake it off. Shake it off. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what I sing when I'm at the urinal now. When I'm standing at the urinal, I just sing, shake it off, shake it off.
And people clear out on both sides of you, don't they?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what's going on else in the world? What has gotten Ken Wilson's attention? What has made you go, oh, my God, what is wrong with people?
Oh, there's so much. Most recently, if we could just get those lovable terrorist jobs and help out their economy. And they're just bored. They need a job. And if they had a job, they wouldn't hate us and they'd stop killing people and cutting their heads off. It's just they have nothing better to do. So
basically, they're just kind of a bored gang. They're like a bunch of New York City kids
uh-huh.
that have nothing to do.
Yeah.
And so they're just out of control
right.
and they need jobs.
And it's not their fault. They're not responsible.
Yeah.
You know, they just need gainful employment.
Yeah. It's not the religion at all.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh,
it is not. It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah. The Quran says right there at the beginning, get a job.
That's what
you open it up, get a job. And then they've been screwed ever since. They can't find
gainful employment. Muhammad said, let them find jobs.
Yeah. So that was the latest thing that really just got me. I'm like, I just, the depth of the stupidity is amazing. And, I know that everybody's getting on this spokeswoman for saying it.
Yeah.
In reality, she's a mouthpiece.
Right.
For the State Department.
Right.
That's their thing. And she gets to be the one that goes out and says incredibly stupid shit. Now, she may believe it. She may not. I don't know. But it's stupid.
What's her name? I can't remember her name, but I know who you're talking about. The chick with the glasses who
yeah,
is the
– Yeah. There's two of them. The one's the redhead, Psaki. Mm-hmm. P-S-A-K-I. And she just got promoted from the State Department. Now she is the White House Communications Director.
Ah.
She has spewed enough of their propaganda that the administration has said, you need to come over here to the White House, to the
you
big
so
show. Come to the big
this.
Show and we'll have you – well, you're good at what you do.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's what somebody – I heard somebody talking about it used to be like real press people, like actual press. Mm-hmm. They knew what they were talking about. And somebody goes, you know, the new people that are the spokespeople just seemed like somebody that were probably interns that worked at one of the campaign offices. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, you really believe this shit, don't you?
You actually are falling for this.
Come on.
And if you're going to sell something, you got to believe in it.
Yeah. And they said that's what it looks like to them because it doesn't have like the dignity of the background of journalism.
Right.
It just sort of seems like, hey, I really believe in this guy.
Right.
And I think this is what we should be doing.
Exactly.
This is what he's saying.
My mom and dad donated a lot of money to his campaign and I got a job and I just love him.
Uh-huh.
I just love him. And
hold on,
this is
going
to be great.
Shake it off. But I can kind of see that, you know?
Yeah.
That you kind of there's not the voice or the we, you know, this has been thought about and considered and, mm-hmm. you know, all there's, angles have been. You know
there's
what?
No integrity behind it. There's no conviction.
No conviction.
No conviction. They just what am I supposed to say? Oh, mm-hmm. Got it. I'll say that today. I know it's totally different than what I said yesterday, but I don't remember that far back. I'm just going to read this.
Yeah.
And
I think it's funny when and I know people hate it, you know, the Fox News thing, you know.
Yeah.
And we have listeners on here that go both ways. You know, uh-huh. I found out that, you know, the liberal listeners and the
right.
So I've kind of put them all together as like both media has gotten bad. MSNBC mm-hmm. is bad, and I've gotten them telling me you're right. I've caught them lying about stuff too.
Right.
But that's sort of my side.
You know, right, they're lying in my favor, so I'm okay with
right.
it. Again, no integrity, no conviction.
Right, and at the same time, what they'll go, yeah, but Fox News said, but so right. okay, but now I forgot where I was going to go with this.
Both sides, yeah.
That both sides, they just sort of lie.
Uh-huh.
And
it's become acceptable.
It's become acceptable,
right?
And I think that hurts me more than anything else that the lying has become mm-hmm. acceptable,
right?
That part should never be acceptable from any side, whether it protects your side
right.
or goes with your side.
Exactly.
What is the absolute truth?
I wish I knew. Maybe we should go to a foreign country and read their paper about America mm-hmm. and see what they're saying out there. I'm being independent. I watch all kinds of cable news when I'm watching because I want to see, even though both sides are less than truthful.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see both sides. I want to see what the left's doing. I want to see what the right's doing, what they're talking about, what they're stirring each other up for, because the oldest adage in the book, divide and conquer, they've done that. They polarized America to where you're not even allowed to listen to your fellow citizens' opposing point of view. You have to just spout out your talking points and
be mad and walk away.
Yes,
if
exactly.
You don't agree.
It's like, oh, no, if somebody's got something different, I absolutely want to hear it because – That's what makes us stronger. I'm not into the divide and conquer thing.
Yeah.
Not when it comes to us. The people have the power, and you take that away when you work us against each other, whereas they should be working against each other, not ganging up on us.
Right.
But they managed to do that, and people have fallen for it. So the polarization is almost complete. So no one wants to hear the other side. I want to hear both sides.
I do too. I really – it's like when people go, oh, turn that – why are you even watching that? Turn that off when I'm watching MSNBC uh-huh. or right. if I'm listening to a liberal talk show. Mm-hmm. Like how can you listen to that?
Right.
Because I want to know what they're mm-hmm. saying.
Right.
I want to know both sides. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Exactly.
Take in both sides and go, okay, I see their point and I see their point. But
right. Well, and even today, we always go back in history and say, look at this in history. Look at this in history. Look at these speeches that Hitler did. He was saying right there what he was going to do. He did it. He said it. He did it. It's like,
He said it in the 30s.
Yeah.
And we waited till the 40s.
And if we would have listened to him, we'd have known it then. We're finally listening to the speeches and learning it now. He was very honest about what his intent was, but we never heard it. If he was giving a speech today, I'd want to hear what he's got to say.
And it would be on Twitter immediately. You know, that's the other thing too.
140 characters at a time.
Right. Yeah. Somebody'd be live tweeting Hitler's speech.
Exactly. I want to hear what, you know, he was the enemy. I want to hear what the enemy's got to say. Mm-hmm. And if you're a liberal and the conservatives are your enemy, you are going to want to listen to what they have to say because then you know what they're thinking.
Right.
Rather than listening to somebody.
Getting the other team's playbook.
Right. I'm getting the playbook. You're telling me. The fundamentally changing America. He was not hiding that at all. He said it. We just didn't know what he was talking about.
We thought he meant just in a come together, come to Jesus. Yeah. We're all one kind of thing.
Unicorns,
not like I am fundamentally going to destroy this country.
Yeah, I'm going to change it. He was absolutely honest about the whole thing. You know, like back to the history thing. Hitler wrote Mein Kampf back in the 20s, and he said exactly what he was going to do. Obama's got a couple books out. He talks about exactly what he thinks and what he feels and how he relates to things. So you can read those books and go, makes sense.
Yeah. I just wish that people would not jump straight to the race card every time.
Oh, I hate that.
I just hate it. Why can't we just discuss the politics? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Obama is half white too.
Yes, he is.
It's not about race.
No.
Do you want to say he's the first black president? And
right.
Yes, okay, he is. But we've discussed politics forever. Mm-hmm. We are discussing the president. It's
right.
not about him being black. You just don't like him because he's black. Why does that come out anytime
right.
you go, well, I'm not really happy with this policy? Well, you just don't like – it's that shutdown thing that drives me crazy.
Absolutely.
Just
it's
crazy.
Rules for radicals. Saul Alinsky did that back in the 50s and 60s. Demonize your opponent. Just shut them down. Don't listen to it and make them feel bad about it. Just demonize them. So right out of the playbook, if you read that book, you'd know exactly what's going on. I think there's a lot of African Americans that'll say – oh, he's not the first black president.
Yeah.
He is the first mixed race president, but he's not the first black president. He's also – the other thing is we all know that he was raised a lot in Indonesia,
mm-hmm.
those formative years. Our formative years, 4th of July, we lived in America. We had parties, parades, the flag, fireworks.
Yeah, apple
we celebrated
pie.
Our independence.
Yeah.
He never did that. In Indonesia – they don't have a 4th of July. It's just a day.
Right.
So the thing that when we're grown up with our patriotic
American
feeling.
American pride.
And the pride thing, that was never instilled in him. And I understand that. It may or may not – it's not his fault, but I understand why he doesn't have the same depth of pride that some of us do.
Right.
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought about that. That,
yeah.
that makes some sense.
Yeah. He just totally was raised – even though, you know – he's American. He was totally raised in a different culture, and not the culture of America. And so it's understandable when he doesn't understand.
And I don't want to be one of these people that goes to the whole, just because he's a Muslim. You know, keep hearing that on everything.
Yeah. He might be.
He might be. And I don't
Kennedy
know.
Kennedy was a Catholic, and they were freaked out about that. Well, if we elect a Catholic, the Pope's going to run America.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was only –
I wasn't old enough, but I remember reading about that and studying history.
Exactly.
And I think that, like you said, understanding history,
mm-hmm.
history repeats itself. And I do think there's a whole new generation – or maybe even a generation or two that doesn't care about history
mm-hmm.
in any way, shape, or form.
Right. It's all past.
That's the past. We've
yeah.
got to look toward the future.
Well, what does progressive mean? We've got to progress. Forget the past. We're moving to the future.
Yeah. And whatever's in the past is in the past.
Yeah, just forget about it.
Don't even talk about it. We will rewrite it if we have to.
Yes, and which they have been doing.
Yeah.
The revisionist history is amazing. It's amazing to read. I don't like it. But it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know.
And the other thing that I've been kind of fighting with and arguing with people is the whole the white guilt angle of every argument and mm-hmm. everything that's bad in the world. Mm-hmm. Everything. Well, and you on Facebook, you'll have arguments with people like, well, that's your white privilege showing. Well, you're fucking white too.
Yeah.
What do you mean, white privilege?
Right.
I grew up poor.
Yeah, you're buying into that.
You're buying into the bullshit they're telling you.
Exactly.
It's like I said, we all started at the same exact place.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom's vagina. That we all started at the. I don't care what you say. That is the starting point. And whether you want to go past the house you live in, mm-hmm. the neighborhood you grew up in, the bad parents that you have, that is all up to you.
Exactly.
And that drives me crazy when you had privilege. What? I worked at a scrap metal yard when I was a kid.
I
burnt my hand on sharp, hot metal.
Right.
I worked.
Uh-huh.
And to hear people go, well, that's just the privilege that you – what?
Is that
what
a privilege?
The fuck are you talking about? It drives me crazy.
Yeah. My grandpa was born in the 1800s. I got pictures of him. He hunted and they killed meat and he had pelts and he sold it. Then during the Depression, he got his second job. But he built the house when I was growing up, the house that my dad was raised in.
Uh-huh.
My grandpa built by hand.
He
built the house on this land and he farmed his land. My dad was the first person in my family that wasn't a farmer. My mom tells me when she was growing up, they had a house that had dirt floors. You couldn't really sweep them. You could get the stuff off. But so that's the privilege I came from.
Yeah, that's privilege.
That's my privilege. And my people are all from the north, if we're going to go north-south kind of thing. There's never been one slave owner in my family tree all the way back to Adam.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
There aren't any.
Right.
There aren't any, you know? And yet we're all to blame for it,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I don't know how to how do you react to something like that? I've got nothing to do with that. And I totally can do everything I can and help anybody at any time. Back to the presidential thing, when we say, well, he's the first black president, now you're just judging him on the color of his skin, not the content.
Right.
Martin Luther King's rolling over. And that's the one thing he did not want us to do.
Ever.
And that's the one thing that we are doing. And some people do it in his name.
And that is the argument that I've had with people. I got in a fight with a guy on Facebook about it. And I really believe – I grew up – I really believe in equality.
Mm-hmm.
I want equality, whether it's male, female, black, white. I would love just equality.
Mm-hmm.
And if I argue about it, it's because I'm for equality and you're not.
Right, right.
And that comes off as that attitude of, well, you're just saying that because – no, I'm saying it because you want more than equal.
Right.
That's my argument. I'll treat you as equal, and I think everybody should be judged by how you work a four-way stop. That's – to me, I've said, you know, like, mm-hmm. it's not your color. Do you know who goes on a four-way stop?
Right.
If you're smart enough to do that, that's what I'm judging you by.
Exactly.
But you're like, if you keep bitching about stuff and you want more than everybody else is allowed, and if you're not working
mm-hmm.
and you want more, that is not equal.
Right.
So that's my fight.
Right. And owe you more.
And I don't owe you – inequality doesn't owe you anything.
No, you have to earn it.
And that's my fight is because
right.
I grew up as a little kid at a time when, you know, it was equality. I grew up in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
born in the, you know, mm-hmm. that area. And so all the music that I liked was all the old, like the Spinners and that kind mm-hmm. of, I loved Motown and that kind of. And I used to argue with friends about, you know, well, you're not listening to this. This is good music.
This is real. So Motown's my favorite.
I grew up with that kind of rubber band man, rubber band man, rubber band. You know,
right.
I loved that. And I would argue with people that thought, oh, that's colored music.
Right.
Well, there's a term you don't use anymore.
Yeah.
But I thought, no, this is music that everybody should be.
You should love it.
Should love. And so I grew up with that attitude that we all need to be one. Get on the love train. Remember that?
Right.
Love train.
Well, you were confounding them because you weren't fitting into the nice little box that they'd prepared for you. You are a young white male. You can't like the Motown music. That's not
what
for
is that?
You.
That's not your
this
music.
This is for you. No, it's not. I might like that too, but no, I'm not getting in the box.
Right.
I'm not getting in that box. And if I know that it's there, I'll probably destroy that box.
Right. And
so
I've
no
always been like that.
In.
And mm-hmm. I think it's the same thing with the, and I, again, this goes back, God, they sound so you're black, when you say I have black friends, they really understand. The guys that I know or the women that I hang out with would say, he's one of the least racist people I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I've talked to them. They understand.
They know your character.
They know the character. Mm-hmm. They know exactly. They sort of feel the same way of like equality.
Mm-hmm. A respecter of persons.
A person. A respecter of people.
Uh-huh. Not exactly. You know, not groups or races or classes.
I call people out on their shit, uh-huh. not on their skin.
Right. Exactly. That's stupid. And I'm telling you that's stupid because it is. Well, that's not politically correct. Well, neither am I.
And is that slowly, that political correctness allows stuff to grow like a fungus.
It's a cancer that
if you don't call it down, if you don't say that's wrong, mm-hmm. well, then it's not wrong anymore.
Right. You've accepted it.
You've accepted it. Mm-hmm. Now that's not wrong and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, I forgot who was telling this to, but it's sort of like the Jerry Springerification of America, where if you see something one day, you mm-hmm. have to top it the next day. It has right. to be worse,
right?
You know, is she sleeping with your boyfriend? Is she sleeping with your dad? Is uh-huh. she sleeping with your dad's boyfriend? And each one of those has become more and more. And then after a while, you go, I've seen it.
Right.
I've seen it. Doesn't matter.
I like the spirit of one-upsmanship, but I like the spirit of that was really good what you just did, how you helped that family out. I'm going to do something better than that. I like how, you know, you told the truth and stood up for something that I'm going to do that. We've got on the wrong path. We should be one upping each other in dignity and integrity and doing good deeds for other people.
That's what we should be. And not one upmanship. And how can I make this even more scary?
Yeah.
How can I make this even more wrong?
Yeah.
How can I make this even more disgusting?
Push the envelope to where you don't even recognize it anymore.
Well, it's kind of the same thing as in TV these days. Remember the old TV was like lifestyles of the rich and famous.
Mm-hmm.
It was things that you wanted, that uh-huh. you strive for.
Right.
MTV had Cribs, uh-huh. and it was like you watched – that's a cool house. Look at right. that fantastic car they drive.
Uh-huh.
I want to be like that.
Right.
And now they call it poverty TV because TV shows are like Honey Boo Boo. Uh-huh. And it's uh-huh. that kind of – you want to feel better about yourself, your life. You want to watch others in a disgusting situation so you feel better.
Yeah,
we no longer are a society of striving for better. Mm-hmm. We just want to be okay with what we are.
I'm accepting that I'm not as bad as Honey Boo Boo. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with that. I mean, I'm not okay with that attitude. I'm happy I'm better off than Honey Boo Boo, of course.
Right.
But I'm
glad that I don't talk and they have to subtitle it.
Yeah. You're speaking English and they're subtitling you.
Right. That's the only show I've ever seen in America.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's how I'm saying I'm kind of I'm at half. I have boo boo. I saw it again. And there's words going across the bottom. You're like, oh my God.
I don't even know if those are the right words.
Yeah.
Might not even be the right words. Oh yeah. It's sad. The pussification continues.
Yeah.
You know? It's definitely continuing.
What is I know we've gone very deep in political here, but what do you think is the outcome? What is the are we just going to go for a society of drones and same attitude? Is that what they're striving for, or are they striving for a revolution of like we'll just get people so stirred up that we'll fundamentally change America?
I don't know. I think it would be easier for the power structure if we all were just drones and got into the little box they provided for us.
Because mm-hmm. here's your medication.
Because they've got a plan, and they're obviously smarter than we are.
Yeah.
They're helping us. They're benevolent slave owners in the fact that they know what I need more than I do, and they're going to help me by buying it, building this little box, and allowing mm-hmm. me to get in it so I can do what they want me to do. I think that's – it would be better for them. The people, it's a – we still want liberty. I want freedom and liberty. Give me liberty or give me death. That's
still there. Still high on the list.
It's way at the top. It's way at the top. I'm not willing to give it up. I think the country always goes back and forth. As we do, we keep bouncing farther right every time. I mean, farther left every time. Mm-hmm. We come back a little bit and we go farther. We come back a little bit and we go farther. So I think the country's about to come back. But there's going to come a point, as it always does with American people, where they're going to push us too far, and it's either going to come back very strong, or we're going to have some severe social clashes going on.
Do you think so?
I think so, and I think And I think some people probably want that.
Like an actual new Civil War kind of thing? A new...
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think that some people are wanting that. I think that it'd be a good reason to declare martial law, keep us under control, Agenda 21, throw us into cities.
Oh, so you're thinking more government wants it like that. Like if they... If they could have a civil war started, then they can take control of it.
They can undo all. And so
it's not like the swampy redneck people going, we should just start a civil war.
Yeah,
just start a civil war.
Yeah.
You're thinking it's more the government saying, you know, if we could.
I'm sure there's those swampy people
like
that want to do
like
that
a controlled
too.
Burn of a forest.
Exactly.
If we could just get this started.
Exactly. If we could just push them far enough to get some crazy bastard to go over the edge. And come on, seriously. We just need to get those poor ISIS people jobs.
Just get them some jobs. How about you get us some jobs?
And there's somebody that's probably so ticked off right now. They're like putting their guns on the gun rack and they're going to head to the city. You know, they're looking for that. They're looking for that trigger point.
Well, here's I know we're again down the political road, but let me ask you this question. Why do you think that everybody else calls it terrorism? But us. Who was the king? The king that jumped in the fighter plane?
King of Jordan.
King of Jordan.
Love that guy.
King, he's like, fuck him. Where's my jumpsuit?
I'm going to go.
I will lead the squadron.
That's a leader.
One of their guys gets killed.
That's a leader.
And he's like, fuck him. We're bombing him.
Uh-huh.
But yet, we have workplace violence when somebody's shot at a military base. Mm-hmm. We've got workplace violence when a woman was beheaded at a meatpacking place in Oklahoma.
I think we don't want to offend anybody, that's political correctness run amok. So, some people need to be offended. It's time to offend a lot of people.
It's time to offend again.
Yeah, and those people that are offended, it's time for them to stand up and say why they're offended. Then we can have an honest conversation about something.
Yeah.
As long as we're all hiding behind this facade of acceptance and non-responsibility, we're going to be killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't mean killed, but I mean, we're going to be subdued.
Right.
You know?
Well, I worked with a guy from Turkey not long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice guy. He was a Muslim,
uh-huh.
You know, cause that's Turkey.
Yeah.
Super, like I said, super nice guy, very funny. He was speaking against, you know, what was going on, kind of like, you know, yeah, this is wrong. It's just giving us all a bad name.
Right.
And I still don't understand, though, why there isn't a giant rise up against the way, you know what I mean? Like, why don't they just rise? If there's billions of Muslims, as they say,
right.
It's one of the largest religions in the world, and it's only supposed to be, what, 1% they talk about? 1% of this is religion has been bastardized by the
extremists. 1 to 3% is what they're talking about.
Why doesn't the rest of them just rise up like a fucking tidal wave, crush it, and wipe it out?
Right.
That's the part that bothers me.
I don't understand that because that should happen. Well, if you look at it, 3% of a billion is 300 million.
Yeah.
That's the population of America. That's a whole lot of extreme people out there.
That's a large army.
That's a large army. That's large. They're not all organized yet, but the longer we pussyfoot around, the more organized they're going to get, the more battles they fight over there, the more experience they're going to gain, the harder it's going to be when it comes time, and it will come time.
Yeah,
there will come a time when the world rises up, and hopefully we'll be led by the Muslims, the moderate ones that say, "Hey, this is not good. We're going to lead, and we'll help."
Yeah,
you know.
Like I just watched a video the other day. So I don't know why I watched those things, but where the woman was caught on the street in a red jacket.
I just saw that today.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like it said, captions like she is caught, judged, and executed on the street for a red jacket
by. Who were these?
A bunch of guys that were standing around with coats and masks and
who is qualified to judge her? Who is that person that said, "I am your judge"?
Right.
Really?
You have a red jacket.
Yes, and we.
What the fuck does that mean anyway? I don't know enough about the religion.
Is there something about red? Is there something about bright
women
colors?
Women are not allowed to have color. Wear something bright or
I don't know.
You don't. No cheerful shit.
Yes. Nothing happy for you. Nothing. You're gonna just go no.
Yeah, and stuff like that. So, like, how do people watch that and just not go? I'm blowing a gasket here. I'm out of my mind, crazy. We're just gonna kill them all.
Yeah, I'm blowing a gasket here. Yeah, I agree with that.
How do you just watch that
totally.
Stuff? It's like the beheading of the Egyptians, the 20. How did we just not go, holy crap, that's Hitler.
Right.
That is.
And again, they're right out in the open. They're saying, the thing is they said, we've got 21. There were Egyptian citizens, but they were Coptic Christians, which is the oldest form of Christianity out there. They weren't picked because they were Egyptian citizens. They were picked because they were Christian. They happened to be Egyptian citizens. You have to identify, just like when we go to the range and go shooting, you have to identify your target before you shoot. We can't even identify a target. We can't identify that ISIS is wrong. And we can't even identify that they killed these people because they were Christian.
Well, they're JV, you know.
The JV's knocking at the door. Only JV out there is sitting on.
Well, now that I'm sitting here talking to you, and we've put it together in the Hitler, which I really hadn't thought about that.
Uh-huh.
He did. It was all sort of planned out, laid out there.
Yeah.
He was doing the things. America didn't want to get into the war.
Neville Chamberlain, Prime Minister of England, was such an appeaser. He was such an appeaser. They finally had to get rid of him, and that's when Winston Churchill came back in and took over.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're a bunch of Chamberlains right now.
We're kind of that thing. It's going. We see it. They're killing people. They're executing.
Yeah.
Or we're just okay with it. And to hear people go, well, I don't want to see another American child killed overseas. Nobody wants that.
Nobody.
But this isn't the 1940s.
Right.
Technology doesn't have to put boots on the ground.
Right.
That's the other thing. I keep hearing all about boots on the ground.
Uh-huh.
Boots. Technology today is a computerized drone that drops a mega bomb that wipes out.
Right. And that's very indiscriminate. And as in all war, it'll kill innocents as well.
Yeah.
I
understand that. But isn't that war?
That's what war is. It's
but those of
ugly.
Us that are have been around and watched old war movies and those mm-hmm. have paid attention – all those sayings were true. All's fair in love and war.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
there's all those things that war is not pretty.
It's not
let's hold hands, kumbaya, shoot the bad guys.
It's probably one of the ugliest things the planet has ever seen. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we've become too much of that. Oh, that's just wrong. It's mean.
I think we as Americans want to see the best in people and want to do. I think we have a hard time accepting the fact that something can be that evil.
It's not.
It can't be that evil.
They've always been fighting amongst themselves. Yeah. It's not our deal.
No.
You know, let them figure it out.
I just go get some bread and milk.
Bread and milk. It's going to snow. Bread and milk.
I'll be okay
if I have bread and milk.
The snow's coming. No, and I would like to see them work it out on their own. I would like to see that part of the world fix itself. I don't know if it's possible. That'd be a nice thing to see. I'd like to see our part of the world fix itself as well. You know, we have a lot of issues over here.
Well, I wish that people would really see war for what it is. You know, like remember when the World Trade Center – they said, we can't show this anymore. It's too violent. You know, it just stirs up feelings.
That's what it's supposed to do.
And remember, you'd go to the movies when I was a kid, and they would show like clips, newsreels and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it'd be like, here's what's going on in the Vietnam War.
And
you see those news clips, or you watch news at night that show actual news video of the – we don't see any of that stuff anymore. They don't show that kind of – remember the clips of the guy shooting the guy in Vietnam, the person that set themselves – there's iconic war things that we saw, and they don't do that a lot anymore.
The pussification continues. We're not capable of handling that. And you know who said that? The people that know what's best for us more than we do.
Right.
Our benevolent slave owners that are making it possible for us to live a nice life and not have to witness that kind of – barbaric actions.
Yeah, but we need to see that stuff to understand it. Your brain has to see it and comprehend. It's like I saw the movie Fury. I don't know. Did you see Fury?
I bought it.
Oh, I one of my favorite favorite. It made me have a newfound love for Brad Pitt. Mm-hmm. I've always liked him, but I thought he is so freaking good in this movie.
Right.
But that scene where they tell the new kid to go in there and clean out the, mm-hmm. the tank, mm-hmm. and he's wiping up the blood,
yep.
and there's half a face.
Yep.
And that kind of stuff, it makes you realize that's what war is. It's mm-hmm. that private Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Those where legs are blown off, and you have to keep fighting. Mm-hmm. Like the scene in Fury where the guy gets just blown up
right
next to him, and you got to keep going.
Uh-huh.
You have to keep going.
You have to keep going. And sadly, the human condition isolates itself from that. Yes, you have to keep going, or you will be
that guy.
Yeah. That could have been you.
Yeah.
It's your buddy right there.
Right next to you. Boom. Oh, holy crap. I got to keep going.
Yeah. Gone. That's probably the reality of war that
– And that's what people need to see and understand. It's kind of like the public executions. This sounds so redneck again of me, but people always go, executions, they're not a deterrent. You know, you hear that they're mm-hmm. not a deterrent.
Right.
Yes, they are. First of all, he's not going to do it again. That's mm-hmm. a deterrent.
That one guy, you're not doing that again.
He's not doing that again.
Yes.
And that's why in the Old West, there were public hangings.
Mm-hmm.
They did public hangings. Mm-hmm. You took the family out.
Right.
If anybody wants to know history, look this stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody went to a public hanging, and you told the kid, see that? That's what happens when you steal a horse.
Mm-hmm.
See that? That's what happens when you kill somebody.
Yes. This is what happens to you when you do that. And
that's a deterrent.
And it may not deter everyone, but it will deter 99% of them. And that takes 99 out of 100 criminals out of it. That one, you're not gonna.
I know it sounds barbaric, mm-hmm. and yes, it's the Old West, but there were things through history that have worked.
Mm-hmm.
The public execution of the guillotine. That was the law. That was the way it was.
Right.
That was a public execution.
Right.
So when you become this, like, just put them in a little room and put them to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody sees it, and we just think it's horrible mm-hmm. that the injection didn't kill him immediately. You know what? He chopped up a whole family.
Yeah,
it's kind of okay that he gagged for air.
Right. Well, it also may be in our world of contrivance that the lethal injection system, which is probably one of the most as far as killing a person, it's put them to sleep. Chemicals kill them. It's probably the most humane way to do that.
Yeah, I think what's the order? It puts them to sleep. Then there's a numbing.
Like relaxing.
Yeah,
and then putting to sleep. Numbing,
and then the
lethal injection. And
right.
It's probably weird to say one of the most humane ways mankind has ever devised to do something that's that horrible.
Yeah,
but just recently, now all of a sudden they're not working.
Isn't that weird?
They've been working for a year. Now they're not working?
Yeah.
Are they trying something new, or are they purposely
– trying to screw it up, so
– There's a scenario where you create a problem that doesn't exist, and when the people realize there's a problem, you have the solution. I've got the solution. This is what we're going to do.
It's kind of like –
Bring back the guillotine. Maybe we'll bring back the guillotine.
Well, the firing squad is coming back to Utah.
And guess why? Because those –
Because the injections didn't work.
They're so bad. What they've forgotten about is the firing squad put such a mental strain on the people
that actually have to pull the trigger.
Yeah, there's always the unintended consequence to something. Mm-hmm. They've forgotten about what kind of stress it puts on. And of course, there's used to be 5-6 guys. One guy actually had the bullet. Nobody knew.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, nobody really knows if they did it. Well, what that means is everybody thinks they did it.
Yeah.
So,
but in your head, you go, wasn't me.
Yeah,
wasn't me.
You can
the guy.
If you're a sociopath, you're allowed to do that. You're just that was. I don't care.
I was just listening to talk radio in L.A. and they had the guy from Utah. I think it was the attorney general. I can't remember.
Okay,
but they were talking about bringing it back,
mm-hmm.
and he said it is the most accurate way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's instantaneous because they shoot for the heart.
Mm-hmm.
There's five guys.
Right.
Four have bullets. One doesn't. This is the way they do it.
They do it the other way. Okay.
They do it the opposite.
Okay.
Four have bullets, and they all have to be volunteers, and they all have to be policemen. It can't just be somebody randomly, you know, like chosen to do it.
Right.
And you can't just go, hey, I'd love to shoot somebody. You know what I mean? It has
Craig's
to be.
Craigslist ad looking for volunteers.
Yeah, it has to be law enforcement.
Okay.
And he said that in the past, because they haven't done one, I guess, since the 70s, but they had done it before that.
Mm-hmm.
It said they have never had a problem with a police officer not stepping up. It's okay. Never been like, we need somebody. Like,
please,
the,
yeah.
No, the volunteers go, I'll do it.
Right, right.
So
okay.
In a way, that's – I mean, that's good. And at the same time, when I heard this, I'm thinking, well, who just goes, I'd love to shoot him.
Yeah.
That's a little weird to me,
you know,
too.
What I was just thinking the other day? That's just weird.
That's weird.
That is weird.
That is a little weird.
That is weird. And
because I think it almost should be a lotto. Like, yes, I want it to be law enforcement.
Right.
But yet, everybody put your name in here, and we'll figure out who the firing squad's going to be. But
yeah.
Just to go, anybody want to volunteer? Yeah. Hell yeah!
It's like a jury pool. You have been selected.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, but is it instantaneous?
That's what he said. That it's,
the brain dies instantly. It doesn't feel any pain. It doesn't live on. I heard a story when I was younger about, and they at one point in France, they had execution after guillotine.
Yeah.
And story about a couple guys. One guy was wondering, is what the head gets chopped off and then what, you know, is it gone? So they had, one guy had said, I'll blink.
Uh-huh.
Until I can't blink. If I'm not instantly killed,
yeah,
I'm going to blink. Until I can't blink anymore. Apparently, the guy blinked 14, 15 times before he finally stopped. So
the brain was still active.
The brain is still active. So, again, if we're talking about pedophiles, you know, I really don't care. I'm really okay with the fact that society has a hard job to do sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm okay with
it. I've also said at times, you know, like – there's so many people on death row, and it costs so much money. Mm-hmm. It just costs so mm-hmm. much money. If you're guilty, and we know it,
mm-hmm.
you should be allowed that one appeal, and you're done.
Right.
I mean, that is it.
Right.
And if you're caught, I mean, seriously caught, like, we saw you shoot the guy.
Right.
There's no appeal.
Right.
Like, you're guilty. We saw it. We got it on tape.
Right.
You know, if the cops – you're standing there stabbing a person mm-hmm. and they – okay, we caught you. You're done.
Right.
They really need to be executed and done. None of the pussyfooting around. None of the
right.
We got to figure out why he wasn't hugged as a child.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You were
absolutely – he was insane at the time.
And I understand maybe not executing the ones that, you know, like we – this is all circumstantial. You know, we mm-hmm. – You were picked out. Your DNA was on a coat. You know, I watch enough TV to realize there's some stuff that gets screwed up in the
right.
If
agreed,
you maybe just get life in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really did it and you're caught,
mm-hmm.
you're done.
You're done.
You're seriously done.
You're done.
And that's what drives me crazy. And that's why I said sometimes I think they should have like just a not an electric chair, but electric bleachers. Just you know, there's 40 yeah. guys on death row.
Right.
You all get it tomorrow. Sit on those metal blencher.
Right.
You know.
Nice warm foot bath for you.
Yeah. Or I'd said, this is so bad, but I'd said one time in my act about just that maybe criminals need to give back to society. And here's how they do it. You just run them through a mulcher, spray the remains all over the park. And mulch, like you mulch the park, and that way they give back
yeah,
to society.
Yeah.
You know, the fertilizer that they've become. Look at that beautiful green grass.
Oh, God. No, that's a little far for
that's
me.
That's a little far even for
a little
you?
Far for me.
Okay. I knew I could find that spot.
We found it. Chain gang, work hard.
Uh-huh.
Get you out of the compound, you know. Sheriff Apayo's got a great deal going on down there, you know, and it's not supposed to be easy.
Not at all.
It's not. It's supposed to be overwhelming.
It's
overwhelmingly bad.
I don't ever want to go back right. there. Remember, that was the whole thing about prison. It's supposed mm-hmm. to be so bad,
right.
You never want to go. Well,
and when we talk about systems and we talk about – we could take capitalism to an extreme that it doesn't need to go, but the prison system is a money-making organization. And in order to make money, you have to have clients. In order to have clients, you have to have people in prison. Or to put people in prison, you have to make laws to get them there. All of a sudden, now we got a lot of laws that seriously. You don't go to prison for this, but you can't warm your car up. It's puffing.
Yeah.
You can't do that. So,
because insurance companies had said people leaving their car running, they get stolen. And,
right, right. Or it's bad for the ozone.
It's bad for the ozone.
So we made a law and now we're going to get some money from you for, you know, there's $45, whatever. So same thing goes to the prison because it is a for-profit organization and it's run by private industry and they need to make a profit.
So we need to get it out of the hands?
Yeah. Their board of directors owes their shareholders a profit. That's how companies and corporations work. You're a shareholder. They owe you dividends on your investment.
Well, I knew there was private prisons, but I thought they were just kind of the backup for our prisons. Is the prison system becoming more and more just privatized?
That would be something we should actually look into and see what the extent is. I believe it is, but I don't have any facts to say.
I don't either, but I knew about for-profit prisons because I know somebody that had to go for a short period of time and had to basically pay. You pay to go to prison. You do work things.
Right.
And that pays for your time in prison.
Okay. Plus you're getting subsidies from the government, which paid for by me, you, and all your listeners out there.
Yeah.
We're all paying that. Plus the guys got to pay.
All right.
So the prison system is making good dividends for their shareholders.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Well,
capitalism works.
Complaints years ago about them having to make license plates. Like that was like slave labor.
Yeah. Oh, like, you can't do that.
You can't make them do that. That's against their
chain gangs. It ruins their dignity to make them cut weeds.
Right.
Right.
Okay. No, you're a criminal.
Yeah, you're.
This is part of your punishment.
Rather than mulch you, we're going to let you pay back in another way.
Rather than mulch you, we're going to let you go cut weeds.
Yes.
Would you rather be cut up or cut weeds?
Yes.
We'll let you decide.
Well, don't be so mean that they have to cut weeds. You're probably going to put them in some embarrassing outfit.
And then you're just going to make them angry, and then they're going to come out angry and embarrassed people.
And, yeah, we can't have that.
Well, I remember one time
– they just need jobs.
I remember one time on the radio saying something about prison reform and how it should be horrible and – people got upset with me. I mean, they called the station and were saying,
really?
Yeah, that
– I might remember that.
My husband was in jail and he doesn't deserve this, or my cousin is in jail and why should it be horrible for him? It's like the family members don't want to accept the fact your families are criminals.
Right, and it's probably
your
hard
family. You need to accept.
That
you are married to a fucking criminal. My husband shouldn't have to do. Yes, he should.
He should.
He should.
He broke the law, and when you break the law, there's a punishment, and he's actually doing his punishment now.
Right,
that's
but society now has become more acceptable. The acceptance of criminals has become okay.
Right,
like street cred. It's like you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did bad things, but it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. It's only wrong if you get caught.
Yeah, you see those – I've seen signs like that. It's only it's only legal if you get caught.
That is an ignorant way to think. It's wrong. That's why you got caught. If you didn't get caught, it's still wrong.
Right. And so many people working scams and angles these days against the government of like, you know, we got four family members on welfare, but we're using this for the money to buy this and
Well,
you know, if I have another baby, I get more. So they're finding ways right and wrong have just become so confused.
It's so confused
that people
it's
just
muddled.
Don't see anything as wrong anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right, and they also are looking at the government as an entity of itself that's big and bad and evil. That like insurance companies,
yeah,
which is that's fine. That's what they're there for. The government is not some foreign. Not foreign as in anti-American, but foreign like this thing that we have to work against. The government is us.
Right.
It's us.
We're the one paying into that.
Yeah. And we're taking out and we're paying in and we're taking out and it is us. You know, we've got to look at it. They're not some offshoot or some evil organization. We, the people.
Yeah. It's not the evil tobacco company that you might want to see go down.
Exactly.
You're trying to scam the people.
Exactly. Well, back in the 60s, they had another thing about overwhelming the government. I can't think of the name of it. it's a system, Piven and Cloward. It's a system. Two professors came up with the system. If we just over tax the government, just overwhelm them with debt where there's no way they can even pay it.
Yeah.
Then we'll have to start from scratch with a new form of government. That's what we need.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not what we need. That's not what we need, you know? And again, the government isn't some thing that needs overturned or overthrown or overwhelmed. It's us. We just need to streamline it and fix it and make it work. Stay out of the people's way. Let us live our lives. Keep us safe from foreign people. We'll handle our own stuff. You know, I'm good. Here locally, the local people know what we need. Mm-hmm. We don't need somebody in New York telling us that.
Like our local people here saying, oh, okay, we're okay with pot. It's legal.
Yeah.
That's our local government.
Right.
And yet now all the other states around us mm-hmm. are like, nope, we're going to sue you.
Yeah,
nope,
we're going to sue you.
We're going to sue you. So
why? Because you want some of the profit without having to do any of the work. Entitlement, again.
Again.
I'm entitled to this because I think I am.
Because you guys are making $800 million right. In Colorado. We want a piece of right. that pie.
I'll teach you how to fish. Instead of giving you a fish, I'm going to teach you how to fish.
Right.
Make it legal in your state, too. Who cares?
Now, what is your opinion on that before we because we'll wrap it up here? Oh. What is your opinion on the legal pot in Colorado?
I don't smoke pot, but I'm fine with it. It's one of the least harmful drugs out there. It's medicine, you know, kind of like alcohol.
There's so many things it can be used for.
So many things really that it can be used for. If somebody wants to drink some beer, drink some whiskey, smoke some pot, I'm fine with that. It's not a criminal offense, and I don't need to pay for them to be in jail because they want to get high in their free time. Let them. This is America. We're free. Let them be free. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. It's kind of like the other countries around the world that just go, hey, that's our heroin park over there.
Right.
That park over there is where the people go and they shoot up heroin, and we know it, and we avoid that.
We know where they are.
We know where they are.
Right.
We give them clean needles.
Uh-huh.
And if they want to kill themselves,
right.
they do it in that park over there. And
right.
there are foreign countries that goes on in.
Well, that's a pretty
because that's the freedom of uh-huh. the people. They want to kill themselves. Let them go do it. That's their choice.
It is. It is their choice. It's sad. I feel sorry for them. I feel bad for them, but I can't stop them. I probably could stop them, but then they'd be sadder,
right,
and worse off. You know.
Right.
And again, that's none of my business. I've got my own things I'm worried about.
I really don't care.
Maybe
I gotta get milk and bread.
I gotta get bread and milk.
I gotta get bread and milk.
I heard it's gonna snow.
Oh.
Bread and milk. Bread and milk. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with the pot situation. I even heard that they made so much money they may be giving refunds this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm okay with that too, because if it weren't for that, our local legislatures would waste it on something else. So yeah.
So we need to treat it kind of like Alaska does with their oil.
Uh-huh.
Like everybody in Alaska gets a kickback. You know, every
yeah.
person gets an oil check.
Yes. That sounds like freedom to me.
Doesn't it? Like
yeah.
everybody in Colorado, that we all voted for this. We're
uh-huh.
making a shitload of money.
Right.
We've got this surplus. And you know what? Here, go take this money and spend it in our economy.
Right.
And
right. Or this year, everybody only pays half their state tax.
Because we got enough money this
time. We're
good.
Time. Yeah. Really? That would be awesome.
Wouldn't
if a politician
awesome?
Finally said – we have enough money.
We
don't
money.
Need any more.
No,
thank
we'll,
you.
We'll be fine this year.
We'll
thank
be
you.
Fine. Thank you. That would be amazing.
That's amazing.
That would be amazing.
God, I hadn't ever thought. That's pretty cool. I hadn't
yeah.
thought of that.
Yeah.
You should be governor.
I'd love to be governor, but I probably got
some shit in
skeletons
the past.
In my closet that I probably don't deserve to be governor.
Oh, well, thanks for coming and doing the podcast here today.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Tell everybody where to find you and the bands and all, everything.
Marshall Rain
mm-hmm.
on Twitter
uh-huh.
at Marshall Rain. Jump on there and follow us with a lot of crazy stuff, you know, basic Twitter stuff.
Yeah.
Pictures, we're here, we're there. The other band, Honky Tonk Voodoo, is kind of a local thing that we just do for fun when we're not touring. So come out to Toby's or Chatfield or somewhere and see us there. But
Toby Keith's Bar and Grill.
Toby Keith's Bar and Grill.
Do you guys have a website and a
We've
Twitter?
Got a Facebook page, Honky
okay.
Tonk Voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
Got a YouTube. Honky Tonk Voodoo at YouTube. And we've got a website, honkytonkvoodoo.com, but it's not really active. You can find out where we are, but
yeah.
we're kind of one of those things you just stumble into, and it's a whole lot of fun.
Right. Well, yeah, speaking of stumbling into, you know, we had the Facebook page for the Flappin' Jacks.
Yes, we did. Still have it. And Uncle Daddy.
Yeah, and Uncle Dad. We had the – do you still get notices that people –
Yeah, we had like
going to the pages.
Yes, it's just recently.
It's weird to me. It's like 31 visits to Uncle Daddy's. Yeah. Like what?
I think you and I are the administrators on that, so we both get those. I'm like, really? I don't even go there.
I don't
this
go
is
there anymore.
Great.
Yeah, I'll go back and look at it. We haven't posted since 2010 or something or 12.
When we get
every
done
once
with
in
this,
a while, I'll post something.
When we get done with this, let's post on Flapping Jacks. And Uncle Daddy.
And just to see.
Let's just post some stuff
okay,
and see what
let's
happens.
Let's do it. Let's
we'll
do
post,
it.
Listen to the podcast.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. We'll have to get you on here again, man. I appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Steve. I appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you.
That's our podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it. Check out all of our stuff. You can find me on Twitter, Steve McGrew, YouTube. I got all the stuff. We've got Remasculate, Facebook. And the girlfriend and I are doing a vlog on wrinkled sheets. Have you seen any of the videos?
I have. You guys are out there. You're everywhere. I'm loving what you guys are doing.
We're trying to do some stuff.
Yeah.
So check out the Wrinkled Sheets YouTube channel. Until then, God bless America. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu. But before I go, let me tell you about a new podcast that I found that I enjoy that I've actually been a guest on. It's the podcast called We Are Not Here to Please You.
We are not here to please you. Instead, we're two guys from faraway land of Finland
talking about things like
superhero-like animals,
forest porn,
space travel and science,
getting old,
and general geekery.
And you can listen to us and find us at wearenotheretopleaseyou.blogspot.fi
and beardsandbullshit.com/WANHTPY.
We of course are also on Facebook, iTunes, and Stitcher.
So check them out. You won't be disappointed.